Life as a Nephrologist, a podcast series by the National Kidney Foundation. I'm Laura Brereton, Director of our Clinical Practice Guideline Development Program, KDOQI. Our goal with this podcast is to take a look at nephrology as a career and to encourage medical students and residents to choose it. We're exploring what day-to-day life is like for nephrologists at different points in their careers and highlighting their varying interests, projects, and stories. In this episode, I talk with Dr. Mukesh Sharma, an interventional nephrologist in private practice who also works as an adjunct professor at the University of Arkansas Medical School. Interventional nephrology is a subspecialization that enables the physician to perform a number of procedures related to creating and maintaining dialysis accesses, AV fistulas and grafts, and catheters. Dr. Sharma went to medical school in India before completing residency and fellowship at Louisiana State University. We talk about his journey from India to the United States, his path to nephrology, and the varied career he has today. Hi, Mukesh. Welcome to Life as a Nephrologist.
Hi, Laura. Glad to be here, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
So first, let's talk about you. Can you tell me how you decided to pursue a career in medicine?
Sure. Well, in short, I chose medicine to fulfill my late father's dream. I come from a family in India with very humble beginnings. My father was the first person to finish college in his family, and he wanted his kids to get higher education. He always had a dream. He wanted to see a doctor inscribed in front of his kid's name with the nameplate outside his house. And since I was good in academics, he always used to nudge me gently as a kid that he wanted to see me as a doctor. I never took it seriously, you know, like most young kids. Something happened in 1993. I was still in high school at that time. A big tragedy struck our family. My dad was in armed forces, and unfortunately, he was killed in an encounter. That was a big, sad news. As a young boy, for any young boy, their dads are hero, and so was he for me. And when I lost my real-life hero, you can imagine my world turned upside down.
Right.
I was like a sailless boat in the midst of ocean. I didn't know what to do. They say that right thing said by right person at the right time can change your destiny. So something of that sort happened to me while I was trying to console my inconsolable mother and brother. One of my uncles, who was also my mentor at that time, held my hand and said a few words to me that still ring in my head all the time. He said that, son, you have to rise so that you can lift your family up. You have to strengthen yourself, and you have to do something with your life that makes your dad and your family proud. So that night I made a resolve that I will do something with my life and I will fulfill my father's dream. So I worked really hard, and with lots of luck, I was able to get into medical school, and I was able to become the first doctor in my family and fulfill my father's dream. So that's how I got into medicine.
Wow, Mukesh, that's a really powerful story. So
yeah.
So you went to medical school in India, is that right?
That's right. That's right.
And then you ended up in the United States. So what brought you from India to over here?
Well, that's friends, luck, and destiny, I would like to say, brought me to the US. So after I finished my med school, I was all set, and I was planning to open a small clinic in my hometown. Four of my best friends, like childhood friends, two of them emigrated to Canada that year with their families. And the other two came to US for higher studies. And I was in constant touch with all my friends. The two friends who came here, one of them did MBA and the other one enrolled in PhD program in engineering. And they kept telling me about how wonderful environment the US has to offer to the students. And they really encouraged me and pushed me and nudged me to come here and see for myself what this country has to offer. At first, I was reluctant because I did not know how an international medical graduate would fare in this country and what are the steps involved. So just to test the waters and get my feet wet, I enrolled in a master's program here and I came on a student visa for doing master's. And that's how I actually came to the US.
Okay, so you did your master's first in biology, I believe, and then from there you applied to internal medicine residency. So you go into your residency and then eventually you made your way to nephrology. So how did that come about?
So after I finished my master's, there was more gap actually before I started my residency. I did bench research, got a research associate job, and I did bench research in pharmacology and toxicology for a couple of years. And during this time, I was also preparing for USMLE. So having been out of the clinical medical world, I really wanted to get back. I missed patient care, patient interaction. You know, basic science research is exciting, to give all due credit. I learned a lot in my 4 years doing master's and bench research, but I really lacked. The calling was that I'd need to get back into medicine, real patient interaction and taking care of patients. I missed that part. So started working on that. And with sheer luck, I was accepted into the residency program where I was working. And when I was an intern, I figured out that I was very good at doing procedures. I was comfortable in taking care of sick patients, and it came very naturally for me to have end-of-life discussions with the patients and families. You know, those are hard discussions, but I was very comfortable in doing that. So wanted to get into a field that would provide me continuity of care and also provide me opportunities to do procedures and take care of sick patients. So initially I was debating between critical care, hem-onc, but I did not find that continuity of with the patients in critical care world. It so happened that I got a rotation during internship with nephrology, and then I watched nephrology attendings having interactions with their patients. They would call patients by their first name. The patients would identify their attendings, and most of the nephrology attendings knew the patient's history at the back of their hand. And I saw patient-physician interaction at a totally different level that I had not seen before. And luckily, the program I was in at LSU Shreveport, I saw the nephrology fellows and attendings doing a lot of procedures in the interventional program that they had established. So it all clicked to me. And luckily that year, with the guidance of the mentors, I was able to get a travel grant from NKF. And as an intern, I traveled to Nashville, Tennessee, to attend the National Kidney Foundation spring meeting. And that really opened my eyes and opened my view about nephrology. And I was kind of determined that this is the field that I want to be in.
That's interesting. So you had that early exposure through the spring clinical meeting and really being able to watch your attendings. And I like that you say that you were able to see that continuity of care early on, and maybe that wasn't as available to residents in critical care or general internal medicine. And you also mention you enjoyed procedures, which ties nicely into what you do now as an interventional nephrologist. So you are able to help to maintain vascular accesses, I suppose. So we have catheters, we have arteriovenous fistulas and grafts. Would you be able to tell people a bit about what an interventional nephrologist does differently from a general nephrologist?
Yeah, sure. So in addition to performing the regular duties of a general nephrologist, an interventional nephrologist also takes complete care of dialysis access of end-stage renal disease patients. As you know, AV access or dialysis access is the Achilles heel of our patients. And many patients This is the lifeline for patients who are dependent on dialysis, be it their PD catheter or be it their AV fistula or a graft, or patients who start dialysis on catheters. And often you will see that these patients, if they have any problems with their access and they cannot use the access for any reason, they have to go to the hospital to take care of that. And unfortunately, as a nephrologist, you are dependent on other specialties to take care of your patients to address these access-related problems. So mostly in nephrology world, you will refer the patients to the surgeon, a vascular surgeon, or interventional radiologist to take care of these access-related issues. And this is where interventional nephrologists come in. I think interventional nephrology kind of gives you a complete package for a nephrologist to take complete care of the patient from the dialysis standpoint, at least. So if there is an access-related issue, being trained in intervention and being comfortable doing procedures, I am able to take care of more than 90% of the problems these patients have. So just to give you a brief synopsis of the procedures we do, I like to divide the procedures into three broad categories that I perform on a daily basis. So category one are the procedures involved in getting an AV access in a patient. So AV access is usually created by a surgeon, but I can help the surgeon increase his chances of getting a successful fistula done in one surgery. And the procedures involved are either I can do a vein mapping or a venogram to help select the most ideal vein or the most ideal site where I can recommend that the surgeon goes in and creates a fistula so that the chances of a successful surgery are high. Once the fistula is placed, and if for some reason that fistula does not mature, I can do percutaneous angiograms or fistulograms to find out what is the problem. So most of the fistulas may have an inflow problem or inflow stenosis where the anastomosis is created. I can do angioplasty of the inflow, dilate the inflow, and help the fistula mature. We also do balloon-assisted maturation of the fistula, kind of dilate the fistula slowly, gradually using larger balloons. And this also helps the fistulas mature. And mind you, these all procedures are done as outpatients. And these are done with minimally invasive technique, just through a very small hole, and the patient can go home after a couple of hours. So these are the category one procedures involved in trying to get a working access of the patient. Number two category, I would club under the maintenance procedures. We troubleshoot the day-to-day problems that can happen with the working access. So let's say a patient is referred for increased venous pressure from his fistula or a graft on dialysis, or prolonged bleeding from his fistula, or difficult cannulations or swelling of his arm or extremity. I can do a fistulogram or angiogram to diagnose what is the problem. And if I see any stenosis, I can fix that problem by angioplasty. If a stent is needed, we can do that as well. We also do vein ligations. And of course, we do all procedures that are related to catheters, be it new catheter placements, catheter removals, or catheter exchanges. Number three category are the procedures that we do for revival of dead fistulas or dead grafts. What I'm referring to here is a clotted access. And the procedure involved is called thrombectomy of a thrombosed AV fistula or graft. So basically, these are a synopsis of the three main categories we do the procedures. And like I said, these are all outpatient procedures done in a percutaneous fashion with a single or no suture placed most of the times. The patient does not need any anesthesia clearance. Patient does not need to go to the hospital. And most of our patients, actually majority of or almost all of our patients are able to carry on with their routine work, get back to dialysis or get back to home within a few hours of a procedure.
Okay, so it sounds like it's very convenient for a patient to have an interventional nephrologist as their care provider because they don't have to be referred as often, and probably more enjoyable for you too because you can establish that further continuity of care with the patient.
Yes, it is very rewarding and fulfilling as a nephrologist to be able to offer these this help to our patients. And most of my patients are very glad that they are able to get on with their life, even if they have to have these procedures on emergent basis. And once these patients have these procedures done as outpatients, they hate to go back to the hospital to get these done. You know, so we had several patients who were referred to us from outside of our practice, but once they saw that these things can be handled outside the hospital in an outpatient lab within a few hours, they really like to come back, see us if they have any problem with their access.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So what kind of extra training is needed for a nephrologist to become an interventional nephrologist?
Sure. So there are basically two paths that a nephrologist can follow to get trained. Number one is get training during fellowship like I did. There are almost about 8 to 9 academic university programs that offer interventional training. Usually these are additional 1 year of training after you complete your 2 years or 3 years of general nephrology program. There are few fellowships like mine that have incorporated interventional nephrology within the 2 to 3 year timeframe you spend for general nephrology fellowship. That is path one. The second path is on-job training. There are many practices that own their own vascular centers. And if the fellows are interested in intervention, I would encourage them to look for practices that have their own vascular centers already established. And they can get on-job training, or there are certain ASDIN approved, that is American Society of Diagnostic and Interventional Nephrology accredited training centers, where you can spend some time, 2 to 3 months, could be continuous or could be on an interrupted basis, where you have large volume of these procedures so that you're exposed to all the plethora of procedures in a short span of time. And once you get the required number of procedures under your belt, you can apply for ASDIN certification. And once the panel approves that you have done enough procedures under guidance, once you're certified, you are allowed to do the procedures independently. In addition, the two main dialysis providers here in the US, they also have their own vascular centers. And they also offer interventional training to nephrologists who are already in practice if they are interested in doing intervention.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. So you currently work as both an interventional nephrologist in private practice, but you also are an adjunct professor at the University of Arkansas. So can you tell us a little bit about a typical week for you in terms of what you do each day and where?
Sure. So my monthly schedule is typically divided into weekly slots. So 1 week, if I'm working in the vascular lab, that is all I do that week. I may have to go in the hospital in the morning to take care of my patients, but majority of my day is spent in the vascular lab doing procedures. My second week of the month may be inpatient when I am on call, and I do inpatient work. I work in a medium-sized city and cover 2 hospitals. So my call week includes taking call for that week for my group, and I'm working only in the hospitals that week. My third week may include doing clinics, where I take care of my CKD patients and do clinic and in the main office, and we have several satellite clinics in surrounding small towns. And the fourth week may be divided into clinic and doing dialysis rounds. So that is my typical weekly and monthly schedule.
Okay, that's nice that it's not all over the place day to day, so you can really break it up by week.
Sure, it definitely helps, and I'm so glad I did the intervention, because it helps break the monotony of travel and taking care of only CKD and ESRD patients. So it's very fulfilling and very enriching and rewarding experience by doing these procedures.
Yeah, a real variety of patient work. I can hear that.
That's true.
Regarding your work in private practice, you were a speaker at this year's Nephrology Business Leadership University, known as NBLU, an annual conference that for fellows, I believe, that teaches on private practice and the business aspects of nephrology. What were some of the topics that you presented on, and what kind of questions did the attendees have for you?
Yeah, so NBLU was a great experience, and I wish I had this kind of opportunity when I was a fellow. And I'm very glad that the fellows in today's training, they are getting exposed to the business aspect of nephrology. I got to hear about NBLU from Matt Sparks from Duke University, and he was on podcast a few episodes earlier. I met Matt at KidneyCon. So I'm a course director for a vascular access workshop at KidneyCon. This is a conference this is an annual conference we hold at the University of Arkansas Medical School, where I'm an adjunct faculty. And Matt, after he saw me conduct the vascular access workshop, introduced me to Samir, who's the co-founder for NBLU. And this year, I had an opportunity to go and speak to the fellows about the benefits of getting trained in interventional nephrology and what are the benefits of having a vascular lab for the practice, and how an interventional nephrologist can serve his patients in a better way. So I exposed the fellows. Most of them had little to no exposure about interventional nephrology. So it was very exciting for them to hear a nephrologist talk about doing procedures on their patients. And I gave them a few examples about the things I do on a day-to-day basis. I showed them some case series, some patients that I worked on, and also gave them the business aspect of how a vascular lab works. And we also talked about how a nephrologist can get training in interventional nephrology.
That sounds like a really informative experience for everyone involved. So over the years, how have your interests evolved, both clinically and research, since you became an interventional nephrologist?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Laura. People who know me well will tell you that I talk about this very often, especially to the fellows and young nephrologists. I read a book somewhere that taught me that there are four stages in anybody's career. And these are defined by four S's. These are survival, stability, success, and significance. So the survival phase, doesn't matter which career and what stage you are in, whenever you start something new, you'll go through the survival phase. This may last for the first few weeks, first few months, or maybe the first few years of initial struggle when you're trying to acclimatize to the new job or work you're doing. And once you get comfortable doing that job, you get into the stability phase. And this is the comfort zone, and many people kind of get stuck here. But there are few who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and try to aim higher and push themselves and become successful in the field that they are in. And once they are successful, then the last and the penultimate stage come that only very few people are able to achieve. And that is the significant stage, when it becomes significant enough that you are able to contribute back to the field and lead the way and show and pass on the torch to the future generation. So in my short journey of 6 years in private practice, I have found myself becoming more and more comfortable in performing my day-to-day clinical duties, whether I'm in the vascular lab doing procedures or seeing patients in the clinic or the hospital or rounding in the dialysis unit. Over the past couple of years, I have tried to step into other aspects of professional and personal growth to add more meaning and value to what I have to offer to my patients and community. So from administration standpoint, I have got involved in the medical executive committee of both the hospitals that I serve. I'm also on the physician leadership group of one of the hospital, and I'm also a director of our local clinic in our practice, trying to streamline the focus of the clinic. On the public policy side, I have tried to get myself involved with ESRD Network 13. I'm on the medical review board. I'm also closely involved with Arkansas State Medical Society, and I volunteer at the state capitol every day, get to meet with the legislatures and educate them about the policies that may affect medicine on a whole for our state. And I have also recently got involved with the state CKD advisory board. On the teaching education side, I volunteered and am a faculty at UMS. So I go to UMS whenever I can get a chance and teach the fellows and get involved, teach them about vascular access, about intervention, and about private practice on a, as a whole. And that is very informative, and the fellows are really appreciative of that. I also tried to get involved with the local colleges. There are several nursing colleges in my area, and there are allied health sciences students. There are radiation tech students that rotate through my vascular lab, and I try to mentor them and help them out as much as I can. On the personal development and skill development side, I have tried to do more things like getting involved with KidneyCon. I'm the course director for the vascular access lab we hold for fellows every year. And recently getting involved with NBLU was a great experience. And I have tried to get more involved with local events, holding for physicians, trying to educate them about physician burnout and, you know, work-life balance. This has been my main focus over the last year or so. So by doing all these activities, I'm trying to kind of spice up the work life, you know?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And trying to, you know, add more meaning and value to whatever I have to offer.
Right.
And this has been very enriching and very rewarding experience so far. And I've just started my journey.
I love the variety there too, the policy, the clinician well-being, the teaching, and that is really a great experience, I would say. And I love the four S's too. I'm going to look that up for a professional success there, the surviving, stability, success, and significance, I think.
Yes, yes. I think it's so appealing. I mean, and it applies to any career and any field you are in. And whenever I meet any nephrology fellow or any resident, medical resident, you know, I always tell them there is always a light at the tunnel. Just know that you may be in the survival phase, but stability is not very far away.
That's great advice.
Yes, but once you get into stability, keep moving on, you know, so and you'll be successful. It's just down the road.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your experience with us. I think it's great for us as a profession to hear about the stories of the individuals who have chosen it and are making a difference. So before you go, what advice would you give medical students or internal medicine residents who are considering interventional nephrology?
Sure. So my humble advice to anyone who's listening is to try to find a greater meaning in whatever you do on a day-to-day basis. I think that we are so fortunate to be in the field of medicine where we can touch upon the lives of so many people in one day. It's not only our patients that we touch their lives, it's also their family members, 2, 3, 4 different family members that just by interacting with them, you can touch their lives. I don't think there is any other field or any other career that you can really influence and change the thought perception of people just by talking and curing them. My personal mantra is what Hippocrates said many centuries ago: cure sometimes, treat often, and comfort always. Yes, medicine is a very challenging and tough field, but try to remember, we just mentioned four S's, and just try to remember those phases and stick to them, and you will get the energy and the willpower to move on to the next stage. And, you know, like they say, if you allow your passion to become your purpose, it will one day become your profession. So keep pumping up your passion, keep feeding your purpose, and you will find yourself tap dancing to work like Warren Buffett says he does every day. So finding joy in what you do on a daily basis is the key to a happy and successful life.
That's great. This has been a really insightful conversation, Dr. Mukesh Sharma. Thank you for talking with me today.
It's a pleasure, Laura. Thank you so much.
The National Kidney Foundation wants to hear from our listeners. If you are a medical student or resident considering nephrology and you have a question about working in the field, or if you'd like to come on the podcast and talk about your career as a nephrologist, please email us at nkfpodcast@kidney.org.